Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, it's on, ladies and gentlemen. And I said to a couple of people after I got in here a couple hours ago that I don't have to do a lot today because Sue's traffic's probably going to be 3 to 4 minutes long.
Well, you know what? It's starting to get a little bit better. I came in and I sat down and a lot of the MoDOT stuff said, just been cleared, just been cleared. But there's still stuff going on.
I was playing racquetball at the MAC, and leaving this morning, I called my wife and she said, the roads are flooded, everything. I'm like, wait, what? I'm only like 10 minutes away from the house. That was over at 270 in Manchester. And she said, now we have those horse farms by where we live and the roads, they've done a better job. They've ditched those things and the water used to cover the road and it was impassable. That doesn't happen quite as much. But as soon as I got on 44 right to Merritt's, it was like a wall of water. Ugh. It was raining hard. And it was not, you know, it's one of those situations where that is really a flash flood because the water just had no place to go.
No, it didn't. And we're already so, you know, saturated.
Saturated, right.
Where, what time was that-ish?
About 11:40.
Okay, so when the next round came through.
I came in at 1 o'clock, and it was really, really hard rain on 44, and, you know, traffic slowed to the point. I think I was going like 42, 43 miles an hour for a while just because the rain was so intense. So do we have, you know, I haven't really looked at the radar. Do we have more of this coming? Usually we do, right?
Stand by. I'm going to look. Hold on.
This would have been a good time for Dave Murray, but I didn't really think about it. I knew, like, the whole week has some rain on and off, doesn't it?
No, it looks like it's moving out.
Okay, good. We're going to go with that, Sue, even though you're not a, you know, you're not. I had a meteorologist in Milwaukee. No, this just reminded me of something because I would come on, Paul Joseph was his name, and he would say, would you like the forecast? And he was at WTMJ television, and I would say something occasionally about the radar. And he would smack me down.
He's like, is that right?
You can't interpret the radar, you minion who's not a meteorologist.
Come
hey,
on.
Hey, wait. Hey, you guys are wrong all the time. Why can't I take a look at it? Can
green,
I like, kind of take a peek?
Is green is light.
Right.
I mean, hello.
I know. Well,
yellow
I was,
a little harder.
I was scolded back in the day.
That's hilarious.
I know, it is kind of funny. All right, well, we'll get you through this afternoon. Hopefully the weather is not going to be too much of a challenge. Let's see. I got a bunch of stuff that I want to get to. We got Michael Cohen on the stand again today, and they had cross-examination, so that's interesting. Fred, are they in a break right now, or are they back in the courtroom? Do you know?
I don't know. I think it's getting close to the end, to wrapping it up.
Have you been able, I've followed this on and off, have you been able to hear anything today that really pops from the defense when it comes to cross? Because I haven't. I don't know that anything's really been
I haven't either. Just after lunch they started it, and I think they were smacking down, you know, Michael Cohen a lot about how much of what he has said in the past are lies.
Right. Well, I don't think it would be too difficult to discredit him. Here's Vivek Ramaswamy going off on this.
First of all, I learned a lot from being in there in person. It is one of the most depressing places I have been in my life, but it is fitting because the only thing more depressing than the environment of that courtroom is what's actually happening in there. It's straight out of a Kafka novel. The prosecution's main strategy appears to be to bore the jurors into submission. And if you look in that direction, sadly, it may appear to actually be working. Now, I would like for anybody here in the press, anybody at home, anybody at MSNBC or the media afterwards, to clearly state what exactly is the crime that Donald Trump committed. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. So he was, you know, you've had some lawmakers that have been in the courtroom. You know, they're sitting there watching all this stuff, and Vivek was amongst those today.
The alleged crime here is supposedly, they try to point to this every day, that he does not actually use campaign funds, that he used personal funds. Well, let's get this straight. Suppose Donald Trump had used campaign funds to make a personal expense, they'd be going after him for that. So if they're going to get him going or they're going to get him coming, that is the best proof that this is a politicized sham. Let's go through it piece by piece. If you tell somebody to go buy you a suit and you want to look good on television because that'll affect the voters, the way voters vote for you, you know what? They prosecute politicians if they use campaign funds to buy a suit. If they say go get a haircut, if you use campaign funds to get a haircut because you want to look good to the voters, they will actually prosecute you for using campaign funds for a personal expense.
True.
Yet the entire legal theory of this case, the whole case that Alvin Bragg has brought, depends on one premise for them to charge this as a felony, is that Donald Trump somehow should have used campaign funds to make an allegedly personal payment. Yet if he had done that, their case against him would be even stronger. This is garbage.
You know, I don't remember hearing anyone kind of break it down that way, but I don't know that he's wrong about that. So even, you know, it's very, I've said this before, I think it's very difficult to understand exactly how this is going because it's the weirdest trial, Fred. You know this. They're covering it on Fox and CNN and MSNBC, and they're doing it based on emails that are being sent from the courtroom because you don't have the audio feed and everyone's getting it secondhand. Then they're interpreting it and trying to share it as quickly as possible. So it's really difficult to get a handle on how the jury might be reacting. James Carville doesn't think it's going well for the prosecution.
Trump's more ahead than he's ever been. It's going the wrong way. It's not working. Everything that we're throwing is spaghetti at a wall, and none of it is sticking, me included. And it's hard when you're starting your 80th year, and you know, like anybody else, I have an opinion of myself. And the opinion I've come to is, I don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can prepare, you can be on TV, or you can write pieces, you can have a YouTube channel,
all that.
You can have a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we got to, like, try to think of something different, because what we're doing is really, really not working.
So he's very frustrated. Look, I'm guessing that Jimmy Carville looked at the New York Times Siena polling, and you see, and I don't know the gaps are all realistic. I mean, 13 points in Nevada, I'm guessing that's going to be a little bit more of a razor-sharp race. But the bottom line is, what you look for in polling here is trends, and the trends are not in Biden's favor in any way, shape, or form. Then you have Ducey asking this of KJP in the briefing room today. You know, wait a second. You guys are doing all this stuff, but it doesn't really be, you know, it's not being received by the American people, is it?
Why do you think Americans are so down on President Biden right now?
What do you mean?
I know you don't like to talk about polls like the 5 of 6 swing states that he is losing right now to somebody who is a criminal defendant. But more broadly, it doesn't seem like anything you guys are doing is making him more popular. Why do you think that is?
So you mentioned a criminal defendant. Your words, not mine.
Now, she goes on here for a while. I pulled this audio a short time ago, and I was listening to KJP, and she really didn't say anything. She was like, blah, 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 blah. So that sums it up, and then Ducey had another run at her here.
I get that you understand that people are hurting right now. Why is it that nothing you're doing to address their concerns is working?
What I'm saying is, we're going to continue to do the work. I can't speak to the polls, right? Those are for folks who are experts who can do a deep dive and look into that and speak to them. What I can speak to is we understand
nothing.
What the American people is feeling.
Thank you,
we
sir.
Understand what they're going through. That's why we're going to continue to do the work. 301 tariff, that's part of it, right? Making sure that we're protecting American workers, making sure that we're protecting.
Yeah, she's still didn't say anything.
Oh, my
God. Still didn't say anything. It was like more blah, blah, blah. What is Stephen A. Smith saying? Oh, he's on the Michelle Obama train. Is that what it is?
I think that Michelle Obama would win right now if she would have run. I think that Michelle Obama would hands down be the next president of the United States if she were to run against Trump.
I don't think he's wrong about that, but she's not running against Trump. And there's really no path at this point for her to be the nominee. I know that's been a theory that's been out there, but that's interesting. So we're going to keep you posted on all the trial stuff. I know Dave Strom from Hot Air, who's going to be with us from Minneapolis here in just a couple of minutes, has been following that. Also, he wrote about the New York Times interview with Dr. Hillary Cass, and I went over that yesterday. Let me kind of focus on this a little bit because this is interesting. I read the interview on the air. I basically said, and Sue, as I was leaving the air yesterday, I think it was in the 5 o'clock hour, I tweeted something out before I left. And it basically said on Hillary Cass's interview, I've tweeted a lot since then, I said, match what Dr. Cass says with what Jamie Whistle said in the Free Press. That's Jamie Reed, who was the whistleblower for WashU and Children's Hospital last February. I said, perfect match. All of these stories align. And within seconds, Jamie Reed retweeted that. And that's important because we've never had her on the air. We've tried, right, Fred? We've tried to get her on the air. Never have done an interview. But she retweeted that. We got a way to get to her, and she's going to come on tomorrow night and talk about this.
Look at you.
I know.
That's
well,
great.
Fred, the Hall of Famer. The Hall of Famer gets credit on that one. So that's good news, and I'm looking forward to that for sure.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Damn straight, Kenny Walsh. You know.
Take that.
But that's all coming up here, and we'll get to her tomorrow. We got our friend Linda Garofano, who's a tour guide in Rome. I feel guilty. I think I said this yesterday. We used to hook up with her all the time during the pandemic. There was a point where it was very sad, Fred. I remember she said, I think I might have to find something different. She didn't think there was a path for tourism and one thing I want to find out is how they react in Italy, and if it's anywhere similar to what we've experienced here with all the pushback on the lockdowns, et cetera. So Linda's coming up in the next hour. We have Paul Morrow to report on the Trump doings of the day a little bit later at 5:07. And then Ben Lieberman with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. There were some numbers that came out on, that's not Social Security, is it, Fred? That's on we're going to do that tomorrow.
That's on air conditioning.
Right. We're still doing Social Security, but that's at 4:45. But this is dealing with new regulations on refrigerants, et cetera. But I have to get to this. This was something that I've discovered here right before the show. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know where this guy was a teacher, and maybe they're trying to keep it a bit of a secret to not get a ton of attention. But let me back it up because I missed this when it happened. Apparently, some of this goes back 4 months ago. And there was a teacher that was questioned by a student in his class about J.K. Rowling. And this went viral a few months ago. Somehow I missed it. I really didn't. I don't know how. And he was sort of having this conversation. I'm going to play you some of this with the student because the student's like, well, J.K. Rowling's a bigot. And then he kind of asked some questions here.
So let's get specific, though. Let's define bigoted opinions. What opinions are bigoted? We're going to treat this as a thought experiment. I'm not going to say what's right or wrong or what way to think. The whole point is to learn how to think, not what to think.
Yeah.
So when you say bigot, you're starting with the conclusion that given her bigoted opinions, let's start with, does she have bigoted opinions? So when you say bigoted opinions.
She has had a history of being extremely transphobic, I've heard.
And you've heard. So what can you give me an example?
If you look at her Twitter, I think you can see a few things. If you want, I could try and find
See if you can find one.
You know, this sums up so much where these kids are. I heard that she's transphobic because my friend said that she was transphobic, right? So it takes a couple minutes. The kid pulls up a tweet. It's not really a tweet that works for him here.
So one of these tweets that she came up with in 2019, she said, dress however you please, call yourself whatever you like, sleep with any consenting adult who will have you live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real.
Oh my God.
That was hideous.
I can't believe that she has not been deplatformed on the X, formerly Twitter, for saying something like that. And good for that student to work hard and dig deep into her Twitter feed to find that bigoted response,
right? What did he say about that? Is there a follow-up? That's the most ridiculous thing.
Of course there's a follow-up here.
You find that bigoted? What do you find about
it? It was deemed transphobic.
Deemed.
I myself.
Do you find that transphobic yourself?
I don't really have an opinion on it. But
what? The kid can't answer the question. The teacher's actually saying, all right, well, let's kind of think for yourself here.
Yeah. I'm just going with what a lot of other people have said.
So let's pause there. Let's not go with what other people are saying. Let's try and learn how to critically think. So let's analyze the tweet ourselves. So that statement, do you see anything problematic? disregarding other people's opinions?
She did try and pin
what
some
what
things on mm-hmm. a specific group of people.
Okay,
where did she do that? Can you read that?
Yeah,
but force women out of their jobs for stating.
Yeah, it goes. It's just nonsense. Wow. I faded out at that point because the kid wasn't making any sense whatsoever. So, look, my son's a teacher in Columbia, Missouri. I'd be proud if he was handling a topic like that because this teacher wanted to approach it from critical thinking. And he asked some pretty good questions there. I didn't hear, you know, as far as I know, that guy could be trans himself. But he didn't leak his opinion. Now, he challenged the student on several fronts.
Think for yourself.
Here's the problem. That video goes viral, right? You know who picked it up?
Oh, no.
Elon Musk picked it up. That turned out to be a very bad thing for this teacher.
So it happened yesterday. I was fired from my full-time teaching position.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Not going to... It happened so quick. It happened like 5 minutes. It was... really no conversation, so they clearly knew what they wanted to do, so it's not someone that I don't think the...
And well, he was very upset.
I am so sorry.
He kind of goes on, and he doesn't get it. They took his computer. He's like, I had a book that I was writing for 2 years. This is what happens, though. You know, HR swoops in. But the thing that's interesting is that when this first happened, I guess he was on Dr. Drew's podcast and some other things. I feel really bad that I didn't, you know, jump on this because I didn't see it at the time. But he got a little attention. So he said that the first thing that would happen at the school is they were kind of teasing him. Oh, looks like you're the new celebrity. There was no criticism. They were embracing it. They were welcoming.
Yep.
I don't know where this school is. All right. So that's one thing. And then all of a sudden it changed. Now, something changed, I think, with Elon Musk. When Musk tweeted it out, then they didn't like that.
Yesterday it was like a different person. So, and I understand that had Elon Musk not tweeted that video... this would have happened probably with the last 4 months ago when this initially happened. So all the interpretation that I thought was objective seems to be malleable and subjective. And it seems to just be a matter of how something is received, depending which way the wind's blowing. If it blows one way, then it's bad. If it blows this way and it's in your favor, or there's eyeballs, if there's enough attention on it, then you'll just wait until that blows over.
Yeah, and that's what happened here. It's
awful.
Unfortunate. But, that guy's gotten a fair amount of attention, and something tells me he will be, in some way, shape, or form, rewarded for his courage and his objectivity. So congrats to that teacher. He should be proud. David Strom from HotAir.com, coming up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Tuesday afternoon edition of Sue's News, forthcoming. Sue's very busy this afternoon. We did have a couple of friends, John and Jeannie Sullivan, chimed in. Sully says he was at 141 in Dutch Mill and there's an accident there.
She sent me a picture of it and said, Sue, I just watched it happen. So please be careful, yeah. So please avoid that area if you can.
They just think, the Sullivans just think they can text us at any time during the show.
And you know, I appreciate that.
At their
that.
Whim, right?
Yes,
yeah,
I love it.
We appreciate that. Yes. We're good friends. David Strom is with us from hotair.com. Always great to have him contribute to the show, especially when I have to do less work. David, how are you this afternoon?
Well, I've never gotten a better introduction. I like that.
I do my best.
Outsource.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, let me start with the Trump trial. You've written a little bit about this. Do you have, I said this earlier in the monologue, it's a little difficult to, you know, exactly know what's going on and what the mood is, what the jury might be feeling, because you only have these emails that are going out in messages, and then everyone goes on TV and they report that. But when you're not hearing the audio and you're not seeing the faces, and, you know, like, for example, I heard earlier this afternoon, there were people that were chiming in about how Michael Cohen was speaking very slowly and deliberately, and they were theorizing on whether or not that was on purpose to really bore the jury and to bore the media. I don't know what to make of it right now, outside of the fact that I have no idea what this guy's on trial for.
Yeah, I know. And I wonder if anyone in the jury does either. I mean, I think the trial is sort of a competition between two things. On the one hand, you've got the fact that you're in a 95% Democrat area, and these are people who, at least the majority of them, are likely to hate Donald Trump. And on the other hand, you've got just sort of the incoherence of the case and the fact that this is so obviously politicized. And it will only take one juror to say, what are we doing here? This is ridiculous. And so I still hold out hope, because I'm not a complete cynic, that there will be at least one juror there who says, I'm sorry, I can't go this far.
I'm kind of holding out hope as well. And I don't think I would have that hope if all of the reporting for the last couple of weeks has come out and said, oh, man, Alvin Bragg and his team are knocking it out of the park. Now, I remember, you know, last week there were even Fox reporters saying, look, Stormy Daniels' testimony was damaging. But even along those lines, it wasn't damaging necessarily to the specific charges of the case, which, again, are still relatively mysterious. It was damaging because his name was sullied and it was, you know, naughty, and the jury's going to hear all these salacious things. So I don't know if they've really scored a lot of points. But again, that kind of goes, David, to the issue of it's really difficult to gauge this right now.
Yeah, well, one thing that's actually interested me is that CNN has really soured on this case. Fareed Zakaria, you know, just called it outright political.
I've heard
and, you
that.
Know, he's center left. They've had several legal analysts on there, including a former federal prosecutor, who just have trashed the case, trashed the judge. They had a former judge who got on there and said the Stormy Daniels thing was absolutely ridiculous, had nothing to do with the case. It was purely about slandering Trump. And she was just outraged. And you know, it's not surprising to me that they're legal analysts who are outraged. What's surprising is that CNN platformed them. And one of their own legal analysts just trashed the whole thing. and said, look, I mean, I have no idea what they're trying to do here, legally, that is. And, you know, this is a case that never would have been brought up if the defendant's name was not Donald J. Trump.
And that's pretty consistent across other platforms as well. You know, one thing that was interesting today, I'm listening to Fox. They break away and they're out of the Trump coverage because President Biden is speaking. And CNN didn't cut away. They didn't even go to this president because they wanted to stay on Trump. Now, you wrote about some of the high-profile people that are going to this trial. Mike Johnson was there yesterday. You had Vivek there yesterday. But on the media front, it's not everybody that's on the same page, because here's MSNBC and Ari Melber.
There have been days where Defendant Trump looked unseemly, certainly did not look relatable, looked untrustworthy. I thought today, Michael Cohen and the way they did this testimony, this is the day that Donald Trump looked most like a criminal. I thought it was a very bad day for him because his own lawyer, who famously went to prison, very clearly provided the timeline of a proactive plan to allegedly commit a crime.
So then you compare and contrast that, David. You reported, here's a CNN reporter, I've never seen a witness who's lied to Congress, who's lied to court, who's lied to the IRS, who's lied to the Southern District of New York, lied to his banker. The entire prosecution witness team has been lied to by Michael Cohen. But here he is, their star witness.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, you know, just shocking that, you know, most people have grasped the fact that this is purely political. I think it is actually one of the things that is driving Donald Trump's poll numbers is just sort of this generalized sense that everything has gone badly under Biden, including the government itself breaking bad. You know, that it's being weaponized against people, and you've got just a sense that the Democrats have gone way too far. And there's also the cynicism that has developed about everything, you know, that the media is a bunch of liars, that Big Pharma is a bunch of liars, that our public health officials are, that the FBI is. And I think people, you know, you're getting this backlash. I mean, when you see Donald Trump up by double digits in states that he lost in the last election,
it's pretty stunning. I don't know if, you know, I'm not going to buy into 13 points in Nevada. However, a lead is a lead. And even if it's 4 points, that's pretty significant, because that's going to be a state that matters. But look, when it comes to the trial, David, I think you'd agree. It's not as if this judge is in any way, shape or form biased. It's not like he's got a daughter who's an operative of the DNC, you know, making money off this or anything. So we don't have anything to worry about when it comes to the judicial aspect of this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what this everything about this trial shows is that they don't even care whether, you know, this actually sticks. If they convict him, they expect it to be overturned. They know that they have conducted a bogus trial. They know that there's so many reversible errors out there that, you know, including putting Stormy Daniels on the stand, the gag order, all sorts of things. They don't care. This is all about right here, right now, smearing Trump, keeping him off the campaign trail. And it has nothing to do with the law, because they know that they are, have just bent and broken the law in so many ways. I mean, any normal judge would have recused himself because it's so obvious that he's conflicted. You know, even if he believes that he can be objective, and this is true of Fannie Willis as well, even if she believed that she could be fair, the appearance of impropriety is so strong in Alvin Bragg. I mean, you know, all these people have made clear they want to get Trump, that, you know, it's just manifestly unfair.
David Strom, I was actually going to give you trouble for not working as much today as you usually do, because I didn't see a ton of posts. But good Lord, dude, they just posted your piece on Sports Illustrated. I have not seen this yet. Tell my audience, this is unbelievable. I mean, I would have thought, if I would have just looked at this, I would have thought it was satire and parody. And you got a little St. Louis connection here, because you said, let's call it the Bud Light strategy.
Yes. Yeah, well, Sports Illustrated, this is the 60th anniversary of their swimsuit issue. And so CBS did a puff piece about it. And what's hilarious is that one of the cover girls is actually a CBS reporter for CBS Mornings.
Gail King.
Gail King, right. Yes, I forgot her name, who's 69 years old. And, you know, she did an interview with the editor who basically said, you know, we started putting trans people on, fat women on, old women on, because we wanted to get rid of, she actually said this, they wanted to get rid of their old readers and find new ones. You know, this was about diversity and inclusion and all.
Yeah, the quote was, we didn't care. We thought that the right reader would come along with us and the wrong ones we didn't want. Well, good luck with that, because you're barely hanging on to business right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They almost went out of business. They were saved by an out, you know, and they have fewer than half the readers that they used to have. And I mean, we all know that in the media, they have lots of problems. And so they probably would have lost some of those readers anyway. But it's clear that there's just this contempt for men. And that's what it was all about. I mean, why do you put, and, you know, I don't mean to slag someone for being obese, but you don't put a supermodel up there who's over 300 pounds and expect that men are going to flock to the swimsuit issue.
By the way, the swimsuit issue, the thing, in case people miss this, it's the 60th anniversary and the cover features no swimsuits. It's just a bunch of people in business suits and dresses. So that in and of itself is a little confusing. But David Strom, one thing I know about you is that you are full of toxic masculinity. And you posted this, and I have to play it.
Would you donate one of your testicles to benefit trans men and help fight toxic masculinity?
I'd have to know more about the medical implications of me like having a procedure to get rid of my testicles, but like I'm not against the idea.
This is one of those things where they go and they actually talk to real people. And that's, is that a real person or is that satire?
The interviewer is
a real person.
Satire.
Satire. Yeah.
She was. She's doing satire, but she's talking to real students. And the one thing you know is, and she got answer after answer, people saying yes or I'd consider it, and you know that they're all liars.
Of course they are.
There is not a man who would do that. Unless they're grossly mentally ill. But they also know that if they said anything else, they would be, you know, accused of toxic masculinity. They're violent. They're trying to erase, you know, trans people and everything. And so, you know, I mean, it's like you're living in the Soviet Union or East Germany and you're expecting the Stasi to come down on you for not repeating whatever they want you to repeat.
I think I had a pretty, you know, a fairly low opinion of the future of the country if you go back 6 months. And just when you thought it couldn't get lower in the past 6 months, especially the past 5 weeks, I would say, oh, it's bottomed out and it's in negative numbers right now because of what I hear from the youths of America. Strom, always great to have you on. I hope you're well. We'll have you back. Thank you so much.
All right. Sounds good.
Take care.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I come with some good news here this afternoon. Sue, I think I'm going to point this toward you in particular, just in case you don't have plans tonight. Do you have plans tonight?
I do.
Oh, man.
Why?
Well, you might change. I'm going to inspire you to change your plans because tonight is the night, 6:30 till 8 p.m., the Sun Theater, Grandel Square. Tish is going to deliver the State of the City address tonight. So, Sue, I don't know how your plans are, you know, shaping up, but I would consider this. Now, I'm not sure how she's going to respond to one of the stories of the day either, because I think that would be a very short speech, the State of the City, because it's not very good. We have our challenges. But this is, you know, look, this should be something that's not political, what I'm about to share with you. But of course, somehow it will be, and I bet they won't even mention it tonight because she thinks that all the crime problems have been solved. Residents here, this is Dateline St. Louis, Kim Bell, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Residents here heard a barrage of gunfire on Monday night and called 911 to report it. But police didn't show up to investigate their calls, and residents were outraged Tuesday morning when they discovered a body once the sun came up.
Oh,
now,
what?
I want to be careful here to not put this on the cops because I don't think there's individual officers or some person that's in a, you know, what do you call supervisory position that said, hey, don't go out there. They don't have the person power. I got to see how I was not gender specific.
No one cares,
here.
But yes.
I know. I just wanted to do it politically correct. Police confirmed the body was found just before 7:30 a.m., almost 9 hours after the 911 calls. This is Hogan Street and Cass Avenue, but the incident was initially listed as sudden supposed death. A homicide commander said that the case was upgraded to killing and that homicide detectives are handling the investigation. So what happened is the victim was shot, guy in his 20s. He'd been there for hours. They don't know exactly what happened. They're trying to figure out how the call got overlooked by district officers. So let me kind of back up just a little bit. Maybe there was something that came in and there was somebody that should have known. But what they said was the 911 system sent the message to the district officers. The commander said wasn't clear how the patrol officers handled the call because it was nearing the shift change. A spokesman said after reviewing the body cam footage of one officer, it appears that a police officer did go check on reports of a shooting in the area about 90 minutes after the call, but couldn't find anything. That was basically because the guy was dead, maybe. It was a busy night for officers in that district. So we know that there's problems with 911 staffing. We know response time has been terrible. In this particular case, it seems like the 911 calling center did its job. And the police, again, I want to be very careful. I'm not putting the cops on the line for this because I think this goes up to City Hall. I'd love for Tish to address this tonight. This is Bullinathy Square. Do you know that place?
I do not.
It says it's on the edge of the St. Louis Place and the Carr Square neighborhoods. And they had shell casings that were discovered in the area of the shooting. A bunch of people gathered because they were like, wait a second, we called the cops about this. Why in the hell didn't you show up? Somebody called the 1042 on Monday night. That's according to the timestamp on her phone. She showed that to the reporter at the Post-Dispatch. She said, it sounded very close to me. Can you send someone? That's what she said to the 911 dispatcher. She didn't give her address. It was the block on Hogan Street. She hung up. She waited. She waited a half hour. She went to sleep. She monitored her police video surveillance camera to see if police showed up. She says that she saw nothing. She said, police never came last night. This is ridiculous. So you have a disagreement on whether, you know, they say they have body cam that somebody showed up, but did they show up and were they thorough? I suppose, were they in the right place? Now, Tish, again, going back to what's going to happen tonight, her spokesperson issues a statement saying, this is what they sent to the Post-Dispatch. It remains a top priority, Sue, for Mayor Jones and Chief Robert Tracy to get more officers on the streets walking the
beat. Does it?
Yeah, that's my question. Really? Does it really? Because you've shown no effort. You've not communicated that with the public. You've not put your fist down and said, you know what? This is one of our top priorities. Stories like this keep happening. We had a shooting right outside our building, and they closed down more of the homeless encampment. You have a shooting that occurred on the Metrolink station at Forest Park, and now this, where the cops don't even show up. So good luck with that speech tonight. Can't wait to hear all the details.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.